Welcome to the Employee Onboarding Podcast, the only place to learn from the world's leading people operators on how to craft a magical onboarding experience. This podcast is brought to you by Process Street, the AI-powered platform that revolutionizes how HR teams design, manage, and automate their most vital processes. Craft memorable employee experiences, cultivate company culture, and significantly reduce turnover with Process Street. Sign up for a free account at www.process.st. Join thousands of iconic people teams in companies like Salesforce, MIT, and Accenture that trust Process Street for all their people processes.
In this episode of the Employee Onboarding Podcast, Erin Rice, the People and Operations Coordinator at Process Street, speaks to Laura Florin, Global Head of Human Resources at Videri. They discuss the importance of checking in with new hires and the idea of stay interviews even after onboarding is complete. They also discuss bonding with new hires to build the bridge to avoid scary HR.
Welcome to Process Street's Employee Onboarding Podcast, where we are unpacking great onboarding ideas and best practices from the world's top HR practitioners and thought leaders. At Process Street, that starts with our mission to make recurring work fun, fast, and faultless for teams everywhere. My name is Erin Rice, and I'm the People and Operations Coordinator here at Process Street. Today, I'm joined by Laura Florin. Laura is an accomplished people leader with a unique balance between approachability and accountability, with over 20 years of experience in the field. More specifically, Laura has extensive experience leveraging people resources into a growth engine by lowering talent, attrition, and developing corporate performance strategies. Laura has successfully created internal partnerships at every level, from enhanced corporate performances that result in bottom-line growth. Laura is a compliance expert with experience across all 50 states as well as across the globe to ensure companies operate with ethical and mandated boundaries while leaving the people team to focus on employee engagement. Laura is able to build relationships and teams through relatable, trusting, and transparent communication style. Welcome, Laura. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Great. Well, we're excited to have you here and can't wait to hear all the insights you have to share. So why don't we start with you sharing a little bit about your onboarding experience at your current company?
At my current company, we're varied. So we're 50% in the US, 50% in Canada, and we have people that are remote in the US and in Canada, plus having two locations. So we almost have four different styles of onboarding, depending on what the position the person has and what we need to obtain. I try to make it so that onboarding is very smooth. There's not much of the paperwork to do, that we have strong systems that get us to be compliant very quickly. Then we can focus in on how do we get to know all the employees. So we have orientation that we do. We usually do the HR orientation on day two rather than day one, because that first day is so you're trying to log into your computer, you're trying to get some people's names, get a little bit adjusted. And then on day two, if we do the HR orientation, we can then say, so how was the first day? So then we don't scare anybody away. Then this way we can focus in or re-guide the manager, because let's say the manager had a bad day and couldn't meet that much with that person, especially if you're remote. Sometimes when you're onboarding people remotely, they haven't gotten their own workflow. So that first day, it may be a lot of emptiness because you're not sitting in the office.
That makes sense. So four different onboardings. Wow. How do you manage that?
It's just understanding what that is and understanding, okay, what payroll system is somebody getting into, how, and having checklists and understanding so you can get that process finished. As I said, let's bring down the compliance time. Let's see how much we can get the system to do for us. So then while we focus in on the right onboarding, which is what is our culture? What are the things we're trying to do? How do you succeed? What are the opportunities for training and those pieces?
Great. And what was your onboarding like when you joined the company?
Well, when I joined the company, because I was the first strategic HR person, everyone wanted to come and meet me because like, oh, we really need you. We need you to fix X, Y, Z, and onboarding was one of them. So my onboarding was interesting. And whenever I come into a company, I try to take a step back to see what the onboarding is before I jump into, okay, we can do this better, to really get a good idea of what's going on, but then also to support my team that's there that's been working hard up until the point I come in.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to sort of come up to speed and start making those contributions?
For the company, because it was a smaller company and we really needed to hit the ground running, it was probably after the first week I was already saying, okay, change HR systems, we need to change benefits. There was a lot of changes to be done because, as I said, my first thing is how do I streamline everything, the paperwork, the compliance, and all these boring pieces so that we get those streamlined very, very quickly. So then that's 10% of our time. So then 90% of our time is the great things we want to do, like defining our defining the company's values, to define the culture, building the culture. What does it mean when you've got a whole new set of values and the company needs to understand what does it mean? It's not just a bunch of values that we've handed out to people to say, here's what we want to do for our values, but then how to, I believe in living them.
Yeah, that's great. That's such an important piece to building culture at a company.
Yes.
You know, walking the walk and talking the talk.
You got it.
So over all these years of experience, I would imagine you've had multiple different titles. How has your role in employee onboarding kind of evolved over time?
Well, it started out with, I was the one who was standing there doing an orientation. Back in the day when everybody came into an office, standing up there and doing full day orientations. So you are going through all the HR policies, all the benefits, and you're going through all of this giant pile of paperwork. And usually when I first started, you had, you know, it was a few inches thick, all the paperwork you had to hand to people and all the policies and the handbook and all these things. So, you know, that's where I started. And then from the, and so I felt all the pain. I felt the pain of employees having 2 inches thick of paper that they have to read and sign on their first day, getting everything together so we can get things into systems. How do we get that easier? So by living through it, I think it's really helped me to feel the same pain that an employee, a new hire can feel, and how do we make it better?
Yeah, we talk about horror stories of those like giant binders that are kind of thrown on your desk the first day. And it's like, not only do you have to read this, but you have to memorize it and then you have to live it and don't ever break a rule. It's a lot of pressure.
Yes it is.
So as you've sort of gone through your different companies and the different roles, how would you say it's evolved in terms of the actual onboarding in terms of technology? Has that played a role in that evolution?
It has. As I said, you know, back in the day when you handed people a giant pile of paper and really you didn't have a computer. In orientation, they just had the paper and you probably with a PowerPoint presentation being put up on the wall and talking through each slide. So it dictated that. Now, with computers and everything else, and even video chatting, you can do a lot of different things. The other piece is that it makes more sense for the employee, instead of filling it out on paper, how do we get them to fill it out straight into the computer? So, and now if they're going straight into your payroll and HR system, putting in their name, their address, their social security number, when you have them putting into the computer system, there's a higher percentage of probability that it's going to be correct because the person knows their own numbers and their own stuff. And you're not going to transpose things and everything else. Us in HR from the old days, when we were data entering everything in, how many times people came back to you and said, oh, my address is wrong. Or God forbid their social security number is wrong. And then now we've got to actually get it fixed with the IRS and all the other stuff. So I think that's much more beneficial. We've located systems where, hey, you got 20 things you have to acknowledge. Your name gets, the computer prints it in there. So you're not filling out your name and address 50 times. So you do it once.
Yeah, that accuracy is there. I remember having to put in direct deposit information for an employee and like checking it 15 times. I probably spent 30 minutes making sure that it was correct because I didn't want their first paycheck not to go in correctly because, you know, they're counting on that.
Yes.
So yeah, accuracy is so important.
It is. And, you know, even direct deposit is a big change because you used to hand somebody a check. So if your first check could be a paper check, you could hand it to somebody. And then after that, the direct deposit could start. So you could at least do a test. But now, since we're all remote, from the first check, it's got to get into their bank account. And then it's a nightmare if it does go to the wrong place, because then getting the money back, then getting them paid. And the worst thing I ever want to, you know, mess with is somebody's pay.
Absolutely. And then sprinkle this global compliance across the world. It's fun.
Yes, it
is. So there's this new term that's kind of evolved, and maybe it's not that new, but we really have started to focus a lot on pre-boarding. Can you tell me a little bit about your insights on pre-boarding and what that looks like?
I would say pre-boarding is similar to what's still happening in the recruiting process. So there is that piece where if you have a company that has divided up, you have your recruiting or your talent acquisition, and then you have your people operations, where is that dividing line? Who does what? So that pre-boarding piece, we've got to work it out amongst ourselves, who does what. So then there's a smooth transition and handoff from recruiting to HR. It used to be a lot easier because, again, if somebody's coming into the building, you can say, okay, before they walk in the building, they're recruitings. Then the first day they walk in and come into your building, then they move over to the people operations or human resources. So now it's who does what? Should recruiting be worrying about getting a computer shipped out? What are these different pieces that should happen and who does it? And I think it is very important because is the person being supported through those 2 weeks? We don't want to forget them. Let's say they gave 2 weeks notice. We don't want to forget them during those 2 weeks. We want to check in. We want to see how they're doing, especially in today's market when within that 2 weeks, they could accept a job from you, but they're still interviewing. And they're waiting for this other job to come. And so how do you make sure that they still see you as here's my first choice? Or how do you get them to love you so much so that they say, nope, I'm done. I accepted a new job. So it's very important when you do that.
So pre-boarding would be even before they sign an offer, but then most importantly, that in-between time.
Yes.
It's time for a quick intermission to appreciate our sponsor, Process Street. Want to build beautiful, engaging, and efficient employee onboarding processes? Looking to streamline your HR processes into wonderful AI-powered workflows? Look no further than Process Street. Just like Cargill, Colliers, and Hartford Healthcare, you too can trust Process Street with your key people processes. Visit www.process.st today. Is there any tips that you could share on how you keep new hires that haven't started yet engaged during their notice period?
A lot of it can be communication. You know, you could set up a video chat. It doesn't always have to just be phone calls or emails. I think sometimes because we are remote and we do so much through chats and emails and everything else, you do have some people that tend to communicate more via electronics. And while that's good, you don't get the feeling, you don't get that inflection, you don't get that welcoming. And I think it's important even during those 2 weeks, are you doing a phone call or are you doing another video call to say, how are things going? Are you prepared? Do you have any other questions? And do a lot of that because I think then people feel more welcomed. One of the lessons I had, and yes, we were still coming into a building, is I went into a company, a small scaling company where we took it from 100 to 250, they had a 40% turnover rate. And when I looked at the 40% turnover rate, half of it was people not making it the first year. So what you have to think about is okay, then what was their, so then they took this job because they desperately needed the job, but they never fully walked in the door because obviously something was happening either through the onboarding experience, the recruiting experience, or that first year of, do I want to stay here? And I think a lot of employees, they want to cut and run sooner than later if they really don't feel that either A, they're welcome and they can see themselves being part of this team, and B, do I have opportunities? Because if there's no opportunity for me, most of us, we don't want to sit in the same job for 30 years. We want to grow. We want to progress. We want to learn new things. So the onboarding, pre-boarding, all these steps are very, very important. And in the long run, a lot of it plays to your retention and your retention numbers and how much money you spend on training.
Yeah. And there's a lot of discussion about the length of onboarding, you know, like that the initial training might be 2 weeks or 30 days, might take 3 months to ramp up, but how long does our onboarding really last?
Correct. And we have something that we call more stay interviews than exit interviews. So it's a similar type of questions to an exit interview, but it's more of, okay, how are things going? What do you think of the benefits? What do you, you know, what's going on? So are we checking in with them at 90 days? Are we checking with them at 6 months, 9 months? So every quarter, are we checking in with a new hire? As far as how are things going? Do you understand your benefits? Do you understand how you can advance? Are you getting the training? Are you getting the a right amount of feedback? I think that's very, very important so somebody feels that connection to the company and to their team.
I love that. And it also creates a stronger bond between scary HR and yes. the teammates.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I want to make sure, and I get up and get out of, you know, wherever I sit, I get up, I go, I talk to people, even if they have questions, so that, yes, you don't have the scary HR. You don't have the, you know, the Grim Reaper hood and the sickle every time you walk around an office. I have had people dive under desks to hide from me. I don't want to get fired. It was part joke, but it was part, okay. What did that really mean? So yes, HR needs to get out of the process, the paper, and all the other things, and only coming in when it's time to deliver a bad message to, let's do the fun things. Let's enjoy each other. Let's get to know each other and teach me how I can make things better.
Yeah. And that sort of idea of onboarding, then you really could argue travels the whole length of that person's career with that company.
Yes, it's all, how do I get attached to it? As I said, back in that example where half of my turnover was people that didn't make it a year, there were a lot of reasons for it. Some of it was, okay, we recruited the wrong people. We just needed a warm body. But the bigger portion of it was people didn't know how to advance. They weren't getting the feedback they wanted. And then they also felt they weren't getting the training they should get. That even though we thought they were great at doing their job, they didn't feel so confident in their job that they knew what they were doing. So how do we support people on really doing the great things? So the thank yous have to happen too. It's not just, hey, I need to give you some feedback, when there are so few thank yous being given out, or somebody turning around saying, I really like how you approach this. So it's those pieces. But yes, that continues, or once you start that great foundation, that can continue through their career. And then people are willing to stay with companies through good and bad because they feel valued.
That's great. So I think one more question before we go. What would you say is the most creative thing that a company can do to create a wow moment for new hires?
It's finding that true welcome moment. When I was in one of my companies, or the example I gave you where so many of our new hires didn't stay that long, what we did in the building is we We found their desk. We put their name at their desk. You put balloons up. You put some stuff there. So everybody knows who this new hire is. We tell them to go and say hi. So you are being welcomed to the fullest and being treated like an employee who's been there for many years, because you got balloons. You got, everybody knows that you're a new hire. We gave people a buddy, and the buddy was not their manager. So on their first day, their buddy took them to lunch, not their manager. Their manager could do it later in the week, but the buddy who really taught them about the culture and, okay, when we have happy hours and we do this and all the different events we would do, that's what the buddy was selling the person of, how do we get them to know other people? And will this buddy bring them around to introduce them to people? Their first few, let's say, either happy hours or employee events or all hands meetings, they take that buddy with them so that the buddy doesn't feel all nervous. You got to think about it when you're a new hire and you have your first party, like your first Christmas party. And let's say you were hired 2 weeks before and you're like, okay, I want to go. But then you're like, okay, I feel so weird walking into this party. I don't know people, or maybe I know one or two people, and then but I don't want to hang on them all night because I don't want to make them feel like they have to entertain me. So how do we get them welcomed? How do you get them to know people? Because sometimes that's the toughest thing. It's not so much the job. If we've hired experienced people, we know what our job is going to be. It's just, how does this company do it? It's more of, how do I get to know people, and how do people get to know me, and what's special about me? So I really truly feel like I fit in. I've worked working for startup companies and small companies that don't have the salaries that, let's say, a Google or an Amazon might have. We don't have all the bells and whistles. How do we keep those people interested so they're not then looking at these places that have higher salary ranges, better bonuses, or better things? It's, how do you create a great atmosphere where people feel, you know what? I don't want to leave here because I don't know if I'm going to feel this comfortable or this happy if I go someplace else.
And that's the key to changing those retention statistics, yes. Huh?
Yep. Yes. Well, if you look at it, just one other point, we kept on hearing about the great resignation. Well, now there's the great return, because people left these companies that they loved for a ton more money, but then they get to the new company and it's nowhere near that. And they've actually taken pay cuts to go back.
Yeah. And connection does make all the difference in the world. Yes. It's not just in, startups or, tech companies, but just all across the globe. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Laura. I really appreciate all of your time and your expertise. We wish you all the best.
Wonderful. Thank you. You guys too.
You've been listening to the Employee Onboarding Podcast, bringing you insights and best practices from employee onboarding experts, helping you create an amazing onboarding experience. Please like and subscribe to keep updated on new episodes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on your listening platform of choice.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Employee Onboarding Podcast, brought to you by Process Street. If this discussion ignited a spark to revolutionize your HR processes, why not give Process Street a shot? It's a no-code platform trusted by thousands of teams around the world, large and small, including powerhouses like Salesforce. Visit www.process.st to sign up for a free trial and embark on a journey to efficient, powerful workflows.